Now we'll have a quick business meeting. How many are in favor of them being part of the choir now? Okay, excellent. Let's take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm number 103, and we'll be seeing what God's Word has for us there this morning. All right, let's pray before we look into God's Word, seeking His guidance, His help, His understanding, humility in our own hearts to consider the truths here this morning. Father in heaven, God, please help us this morning. Help me as your mouthpiece to speak truth, to be able to present your truth in a way that we all can hear it, understand it, digest it, and do your truth. God, we need your Spirit's help with that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm trying to read the back screen and my eyes weren't working right. Beginning the year with awareness, okay? Let's have awareness, first of all, on a couple of terms that I want us to define. What is a simple definition of grace? A simple definition of grace. Well, here's maybe the simplest form, and you may recall hearing this before. Grace is God's giving us what we do not deserve. We're getting something from God that we don't deserve. Now, there's another term that sometimes gets used synonymously with grace, and it's not the same thing, and that's the word mercy. Mercy is God's not giving to us what we deserve. Folks, we are sinners. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul's own words about himself. Later in his ministry, after he had planted churches all over the world, he writes, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then in Ephesians 4 and verse 22, Paul again tells us that we put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Folks, we do not deserve God's salvation and all the blessings that come with it. We do deserve God's judgment and punishment for our sin. That's what we deserve. You ever had one of those days where nothing's going right and you think, "Oh, I don't deserve this." Or someone in your home is treating you in a way that you don't think you deserve because you wash his clothes and you cook his food and you bring home a check for her to go spend it all at the store or vice versa, whatever the case is. And I don't deserve. What we deserve is just God's judgment and punishment. But God, in his great mercy, he judged and punished Jesus in our place. That's us not getting what we deserve. Jesus did that instead. And so when we repent and genuinely believe in Christ, our sins are forgiven, and we stand justified just as if we had never sinned before God. Mercy is the theme of Psalm 103. David had committed adultery and murder. He suffered the devastating consequences of his sin. By the way, forgiveness doesn't mean all consequences are erased, all earthly consequences. David still suffered those. But God had forgiven and restored him. Do we appreciate God's mercy? Something to think about. Can we appreciate his mercy without first understanding how serious and disgusting our sin is in his eyes? I mean, think about it. Think back of what you did last week, okay? Everything that you did, good, bad, and hopefully not ugly, but maybe some ugly, okay? Good, kind of bad, bad, really bad, ugly. Could you put things into those categories? Therein exposes a problem in our thinking. With God, there's just good and ugly. We Christians, we put things in between. Well, that's not that bad. Not that bad. That one not that bad thing nailed Jesus to the cross. That's how serious our not bad thing is in God's eyes. And maybe this is simplifying it more than what needs to be. I tend to look at God's word in a simplistic way because I can understand it that way. We'll just keep it simple, right? Adam and Eve, God said, "Don't eat this." Eve ate that. First sin. Now, I recall when I was young, Mom told me, "No, you can't eat another cookie." And I did. And that plunged the entire world into sin when Eve ate what God said don't eat. Why? Because she ate a fruit? No, she disobeyed God. So no matter how we justify it, water it down, sugarcoat it, wrong is wrong, sin is sin. And we cannot appreciate mercy if we think our sin is not that bad. When we see how serious it is, then the greatness and the extent of God's mercy becomes so clear to us. And when we clearly see God's mercy, we'll praise him with everything that is in us. A lot of these psalms sound familiar, don't they? David's always praising Jesus, praising God for his mercy, praising God for this, praising God for that. I'm thinking that should be normal with Christians. When we fully understand God's mercy, not getting what we deserve. Psalm 103, verse 1, look how David starts this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So, first of all, we have to praise with your whole being as we start this new year. Start it praising God with your whole being. David began with this psalm, in this psalm, with this eruption of praise right off the bat, right from the beginning, with all that was within him. He didn't have to force a smile on his face, okay? All these men singing behind me tonight or this morning, didn't they look good? They were all bright and smiley and shiny. I wished I could have gotten them to smile. They were somber. But they were singing. They were serious about what they were doing, okay? David just, boom, erupted with this praise. It was like you guys that would be into this, okay? It would be like you, 50-yard line, Super Bowl. Lambeau Field, watching the Packers play, and it's snowing. Whoa! I lost you, some of you, when it's snowing, okay? That would be incredible, all right? That would be some of you guys that are into this sort of thing, sitting in your tree stand, and four monster bucks come up, stop below your tree stand, just look at you, waiting for you to pick which one you want to shoot, okay? That would be me when my son was 5 years old on the wrestling team at an invitational. There's kids all over this gym, mats all over the place, and he's out there wrestling. And he's crouched down, this skinny little kid in their little wrestling onesies, and he's facing off against another one, and he does this move here and clips the kid in the nose with his elbow. That would now, yeah, cross face, do it again. That's my boy. Woo! Bless the Lord, oh my soul, with all that is within me. Do we ever get that excited about God? Do we ever get that excited about mercy and not getting what we deserve? David blessed God for who he is and for his unlimited goodness to his people. Is God good? Say yes. Is God good all the time? Yes, you know, yes, God is good. All the time, God is good. We understand that little back and forth cliche catchphrase that is popular today. But it's true. God is good. All the time. With everything. Even the ugly stuff in our life, God is good. Keep that thought in your mind here for a moment. We have to praise his holy name. The name of God. See, David says, bless his holy name. Holy. The name of God, it wasn't a swear word. It wasn't an expletive. It wasn't a euphemism. It wasn't an OMG on our Facebook posts. There's people that take God's name in vain, okay, they use it as a swear word associated with other four-letter words. And then there's some that diminish the name of God even more by making it a euphemism, like the word gosh. That you can't even give God enough honor to say his real name. You water it down. And then it's even worse today, because people won't even say gosh. They just say OMG. Not enough time to even type out a watered down version of God's name. Really? Folks, as Christians, we can't do this. His name is holy. It is David. David blesses his holy name because that is the name of his God, the one who has given him this mercy. God's name is holy. It is sacred. It is consecrated. It is to be so revered, so honored, that God commanded his people never to take his name in vain. Look at all the Ten Commandments. Don't kill people. You know, don't steal. Don't lie. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then this one just kind of jumps out at us. Don't take my name in vain. Never use it casually. We are to set God's name apart, never daring to use it in any way that demeans or takes away from its sacredness. Ladies, how many of you would appreciate your husband referring to you as the old lady? Yeah, my old lady. Yeah. Or vice versa, guys. It's demeaning. It's disrespectful. It's not reverent. And yet, Christians, I'm afraid we do this all the time with God's name. It's demeaning. It's disrespectful. It's not reverent. And then David goes on to praise him for all his goodness. Excuse me. This is verses 2-5. And David, in this passage, he suggests many forms of God's goodness to us, his people. Look with me at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Never forget these seven benefits in this part of Psalm 103 right here. Forgiveness of our sins. We could say amen to that. Healing of our diseases. Redemption of our lives from destruction. His steadfast, unfailing love. Compassion or tender mercies, which are excessive acts of love with which the Lord showers upon us. Simply because, and why us? Simply because we are his royal sons and daughters. How about a satisfaction of our desires? Especially our spiritual longings is what God gives to us. Physical and spiritual renewal. When was the last time we thanked him for these things? Remember, just a little bit ago, we were talking about good things. Everything is good. Everything that God gives us is good. Because God is good. All the time, God is good. And we could go back and forth with that little cliche, but do we really believe it? Here's how we can tell. No, here's how you can tell, because we already know watching you, but here's how you can tell if you believe this or not. Do you complain about anything? When was the last time we thanked God for forgiveness? Thank God for healing. Some of you in the last 2 weeks have been sick. Are y'all better? Did we thank God for healing us? a lack of thankfulness and praise to God is the result of us taking his blessings for granted. Many times, all we can see is the difficult circumstances that are facing us. Or the things that we don't have and we wished we did. And that's all we can see. Completely overlooking all that we do have in Christ. Here's a good way to think about it, okay? The thing that you want, okay? Whether it's two wheels and will look really good in my garage or something new in the house or a new truck or whatever it is, the thing that you really, really want. I tell you what, if we could do this, okay, you can choose that or an eternity in hell. Which would you choose? Well, I just said that completely wrong. You can have that thing, but you have to spend eternity in hell. There we go. Would you still want it? No. You can have that or forgiveness of sins so you don't have to spend eternity in hell. This is what we have. I mean, these two things don't even compare. And we have this.
But I want more. I'm not happy with God, what God's given me. I wished he'd give me more. I wished he would take this away.
Okay, I can say this now without y'all getting mad at me, okay? Those of you that are older than me, because I'm not one of those young guys that you would say, well, just wait till you get older. Okay, no. I'm feeling it, okay? 53, this last year, something changed, and I'm feeling life, okay? and I know it's only thanks to some of you who have been so encouraging to me, I know it's only going to get worse. Thank you very much for enlightening me to that. You could have all your aches and pains taken away. But you have to give up your salvation. Not a chance. Because all of this that I don't like, that I can't change, it's temporary. God has given me salvation and forgiveness and mercy. Mercy. When he gave me mercy, do you know what he did? He took hell out of the picture. Without mercy, hell would still be in the picture. We are so blessed. How can we complain? Think of it. On our very, very worst days, if we have genuinely trusted Christ, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are the sons and daughters of God, recipients of his unfailing love and mercy on our very worst days. These things that we face in life, while some of them are extremely difficult, they're temporary. But the benefits of God's goodness and mercy are eternal. They not only never go away, they never fade in their intensity either. Do you remember how excited you were that first time you got that present that you really, really wanted? Oh, you were so excited about it. Like the first time I brought my motorcycle home after buying it. Okay. This will tell you how excited I was about it. I saw it online. I called up Steve Brannon. He said, okay, we'll go look at it. We went and looked at it. We bought it. Didn't expect to buy it on the spot. We had no trailer. That's all right. I'm going to ride it home. It was like the second week of March, 27 degrees, 32 degrees, something like that. The road was clear, and I was one icicle when I got home because this thing was north. It was up near Petersburg. and driving that thing all the way home, I got off that thing and my legs were frozen like this. Steve said, "Stand up." I said, "I am. What's wrong with you?" Didn't matter. Oh, I was so pumped. I was so excited. I walked like Fester from those old Westerns into the house. "Honey, I got it. I got this out of the garage. You got to come see this." But I don't feel that way now over it. When I first got it, every time I'd leave the house, I'm walking through the garage. I'm like, wow, it's beautiful. I would open the garage door, okay, and just stand there and look at it. And then I have to position it just right. So if someone driving down the street, they'd see the chrome, you know. It's like, yeah, it's mine. It's mine. That excitement's gone. It faded away. Folks, what we have from God fades not away. Think about it. When we get to heaven, how exciting that is going to be. Exciting is a very weak word for what we're going to be feeling when we get to heaven. It'd be like Christmas morning times infinity in feeling. And unlike Christmas morning where that feeling fades away, when we get to heaven, it doesn't fade away. The Bible tells us that. Fadeth not away. This is God's mercy and grace and his blessings and his forgiveness that he's given to us. They don't fade away. They're eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul writes, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, think of Paul, everything he experienced. Shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, starved, chased after by his own people, attempts on his life, thrown into prison, all of those things that he experienced. And here's how he summed them up. Light affliction. Now, obviously, those weren't light afflictions, but they were in comparison to what he had coming. In comparison to the mercy and forgiveness that God had given to him, he was able to view these awful things in his life as minor inconveniences. So what do? We need to take our eyes off of the things that we can see and focus on those things that we cannot see. Try that this year. And when we do, like David, we will overflow with praise to God. Also, David acknowledged God's works. He reflected, he meditated on the great things that God had done for him. And he acknowledged them, and he praised God. Verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." So he provides justice for his people and punishes their oppressors. He provides justice for us, his people, and punishes the oppressors. Folks, God is faithful to his people. When did he ever stop being faithful? He works in their behalf against those who persecute and oppress them. So where is it, right? How come we don't see it right now? We could say Christianity is being oppressed in some areas today. Is he really working on our behalf? Let's remember this, folks. This world is not our home. Okay? And we tend to look at things with a this world view. God has a bigger view. God had faithfully demonstrated this throughout the years of David's life. He had delivered David many times. Again and again, David had witnessed God's judging those who oppressed him. But God has also proven himself to be just. Another word for that is fair. in his dealings with his people. The greatest example of this is God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. When they were oppressed by Pharaoh, God miraculously set them free. Do you remember reading that in the Old Testament? And we can read other accounts like that in the Old Testament. Yes, God did do that, but we don't see him doing it now. Wait a minute. The Israelites, they were in bondage for how many years? 400, okay. God was just. Not only is God working behind the scenes in ways that we can't see, but he also reveals himself as well. Look with me at verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. God had revealed himself, his ways, his works, through Moses and his people. We read of them now in the Old Testament. David recalled that God had revealed himself to Moses as a merciful judge. He quoted what God had said to Moses there in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And aren't we glad for that? Slow to anger. Just what does that mean? I mean, this is something that if we understand it, we can all appreciate this. David declared that God does not constantly accuse. We can't say that. He doesn't harbor anger when we do wrong. That's hard for us to imagine because we don't do that. We harbor it. We bring things up from the past that other people did. We harbor it, bring it up. But we would sure love it if that other person in our life would quit bringing up something that I did 3 years ago, right? We would love that. We've got that with God. Look at verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. That verse is telling us he doesn't punish or repay us as much as our sin deserves. Oh, there's consequences, but not like we should be getting. Verse 10, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He completely forgives our sins and removes them from us. Now, you ever wonder why he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west? And not the north from the south? Was that just the two things that the writer chose to pick, east and west? Because the north and the south, they eventually meet. Okay? So you start heading north to the North Pole, and there is at some point you reach the end of the north. You can't go any farther north, and you start going south. Until you hit the South Pole, and eventually heading south runs out, and you start heading north again. The east and west, you can go west forever and still be going west. You could be going west, 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 and never will it turn into east, east, east. What a strategic picture to portray to us what God does with our sin. God's grace, we who are forgiven by God's grace will never again meet with our sins. They're gone. What amazing grace. But David also tells us that he showers his eternal love and righteousness on all who fear him. His mercy, his love, they never end. Why? Because love is not something that God does. I mean, like us, we do loving things, don't we? We show love by doing things. God's love is not something he does, it's what he is. It's his essence, it's his being. If his love had limits, then he would have limits. And God is limitless. If his love ceased to exist, God would cease to exist. And God is eternal. Look with me at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. But let's also consider verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. David explains that, yes, God is showering his unfailing love, but we have to read that with verse 18, on those who are faithful and obedient. It's not a catch. It's a premise to the promise, so to speak. God says, I promise I will do this for those who are faithful and obedient to me. Let me clarify something here. God's love is unconditional. But many of his blessings are conditional, depending on our obedience to him. Everything that we are and have is all attributable to God's mercy and goodness toward us. Consider this verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Folks, God wants us to understand what he is like. He is merciful. He is compassionate and forgiving. His love for us is beyond our comprehension. That's one of the reasons I think when we all get to heaven, it's not going to be like many people think it's going to be. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go see grandma, and I'm going to go see, you know, my wife or my child, and I'll get to visit. Oh, and when I see Peter, I'm going to go ask Peter, what was your problem, dude? Why did you just zip it? Your mouth got you in so much trouble. And Noah, how did you? You know what? I think when I get to heaven, because we cannot imagine unconditional love. When we are in heaven, we will be surrounded by experiencing and feeling an intensity of love that we can't even imagine right now. Forget the streets of gold, okay, and the coffee shop in my mansion, which I put an order in for. Forget all of that. We are going to be surrounded by God. I am going to be so totally unaware of anyone else that might be there. That's the love that God gives us now. We don't have to wait to heaven for that unconditional love. Our sin, us, we dim that love right now. God is not an angry tyrant, but rather a kind, understanding Father. He knows what we're like. Moms and dads, you know your kids better than they know themselves, don't they? And maybe you've said that before too. When they start getting older and can't figure out why you get to make decisions for them. And if you didn't say it, you thought, well, I know you better than you do, okay? And I know this isn't a good choice. God knows us. He not only knows us because he's our parent, he knows us because he made you. He formed every part of you. God knows what we are like. He understands our weaknesses as well. Because you might say, he's been there, done that. Through Jesus, Jesus became one of us in order to identify with us. And because Christ lived facing the same trials and the same temptations of life, he's able to help us when we're tempted and tried. Have you ever tried to help someone who's struggling with a problem and they say, oh, you just don't understand. How can you understand? Jesus understands. In countless ways, folks, God is good to us. Blessing us in spite of our unworthiness. And he delights in rewarding us when we're obedient to him. David ended Psalm 103 exactly as he began it, by charging his own soul to bless the Lord. Every one of us, folks, every single individual should join David in praising and worshiping God. Consider this, everything that God made, he made for his glory. David understood that. And he calls for at the end of this psalm for all of God's works, angels included, to just praise God. And everything God made, which is everything, everything that God made does that very thing. Everything except for us. But instead of everything he's made is doing exactly what he made it to do. Of all the hundreds, thousands, millions of things that he's created, they are all doing exactly what he created them to do, except this one thing he created. It's called man. And instead of just forgetting that one thing, God made a way to restore us. We, folks, of all creation, should praise the loudest. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then, chapter 1 and verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This year, let's begin it with an awareness of what we are, God's creation, that has sinned. Of all of his creation, we're the only ones that have looked God in the face and said, nah, I'm going to do what I want to do. And he hasn't squashed us like the bug that we are. But instead, he took his son for this 1/1,000,000,000th part of his creation that is not doing what it's supposed to do. He took his son, made his son this, squashed him so that the rest of us could be restored. Let's try being aware of that as we start this year. And just reflect on the goodness of God. All the ways that we are so blessed. Who cares if there's white stuff on the road? Who cares if there's not enough white stuff on the road if you're like me? It's too rainy. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't like this. I don't like that. I wish this were different. I wish I had that. Folks, let's instead just be so thankful that we have forgiveness and we're not going to spend eternity in hell. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, our minds are so wrapped up in and controlled by the world that I think this truth this morning seems like a hard thing to do, to go a whole year without complaining. How is that even possible? But all the rest of your creation does exactly what you've created them to do, with no complaints. God, I pray your Spirit would reveal to each one of us the pride and the selfishness that's in our heart that wants things our way and keeps us from focusing on you. God, I pray we would take ourselves off the throne this morning and put you back there and just worship and adore you for whatever crumbs you might throw our way. But actually, your grace and your mercy and your love, your forgiveness, those are no crumbs. Those are huge. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.